Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about the second half of the Seven Wonders. That's the name of this episode, right? Something about the wonders. No, it's Go to Hell.
Go to Hell.
Seven Wonders. Yeah, yeah. I'm so bad at my job, bro. Go to Hell, part two. God, I can't even remember what we had happen for the most part last time, other than like there was a weird Papa Legba like dream mission that happened.
Queenie went Cordelia to dream
has
hell.
The sight again, but it's bad. Yeah, Queenie went to dream hell. What else did we like miss? I'm trying to think what else happened that was like important. Was there anything?
No.
Yeah, no, basically, like, just Fiona was like, you guys got to do the Seven Wonders test to Queenie.
Yeah.
And that was about it.
Yeah, Queenie's also, like, why should I trust you? And that's never really answered, but, you know, Fiona's like, fuck you.
Delphine is just, like, living in her old house as a tour guide, and
oh,
she
right.
has
oh, yeah,
a
yeah.
regular tour guide lady, like, hostage. And she like does a weird speech about Paula Deen saying
yeah,
the N word,
woke.
Uh-huh, and
yeah.
how the woke
oh, yeah.
and everything. And Anthony Weiner, there's an Anthony Weiner reference for some reason.
Yeah.
And then Queenie stabs
you
her.
Used to be able to just send pictures of your hog to whoever, you know. And it was if you were a politician, you
and
could just take a shot of that.
If your name was Anthony Weiner, it was expected.
Anthony Weiner,
yeah,
yeah, you That's could take you a picture votes. Of that. I would say Sledgehammer, but it was a politician named Anthony Weiner. Let's be real here. You took a picture of that worm, sent it to whoever, you know, just send that shit out there. But you can't now because
yeah,
of woke.
Because of woke,
right?
Is
yeah.
what, that was her speech. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Delphine hates the wokes. And it turns out that she didn't have any character development, actually. So the 5 to 10 episodes we dedicated to it were absolutely meaningless, which I guess if you want to give like the most absolutely generous credit you can, I guess that's good because this was a real awful woman who did real awful racist things. So like the takeaway could be, yeah, she probably wasn't redeemable, actually. If she was brought back, she probably would still be fucking horrendous, and she couldn't be healed by the power of friendship. Well, I don't think that yeah. was their goal, just to be clear. I don't think that was their goal.
Yeah.
But at least
I feel like it's too inconsistent for that. You know?
Yeah, and I would give them more benefit of the doubt if it wasn't for the fact that this is only the second most deflating and disappointing death of a character this episode.
Oh, yeah.
They are so bad at handling this shit. Yeah, it's insane. It's insane how bad it is. So, yeah, I guess that was about where we were.
Delia had like a weird like vision of all the girls getting murdered by Fiona.
Oh, right. Because, yeah, Fiona like gave her the necklace and then touched her despite openly saying, you can't lose powers. You still have the sight. You just need to turn it on, dumbass. Well, anyway, I'm going to touch you now, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a little touch.
And now she has like the sight plus, but it's like the Silent Hill edition of the sight that gives her future sight. Like Alice Cullen.
Wrong future sight.
Yeah, wrong future sight, like Alice Cullen in Twilight, where like she sees something that might happen, which I don't know about you, but I think that's like just how life works.
That's like
actually.
Imagination.
I was gonna say this is you don't have this sight, you have fucking anxiety attacks is
yeah.
what you're having here. Like you're just I can imagine a future happening where the most terrible thing possible happens. Yeah, I can too. It's called having anxiety, dude. Like, yeah, I'm like, what's the worst possible outcome here? I don't need witch powers for that, bro.
Yeah, when Delia got like the vision, like the very like graphic vision of all the girls like dead in a very like specific way, I'm like, oh, Delia also has obsessive compulsive disorder and intrusive thoughts. Good to know. Oh, wait, I'm being handed a note. That's not what's going on. Okay, got it.
It's not just she sees the top of the stairs with a flimsy railing and goes, how many ways could I get killed over that railing? <It's>
not- Yeah, it's also wild because I think I like briefly mentioned it, but in the like the vision, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, that she has, like, all the girls are killed in, like, wild ways. Fucked up. Madison dies by getting her throat cut again. Very rude of Fiona to do, if we're being honest.
You're
very
break already.
Yeah.
This is new material.
And then, like, Queenie has, like, a spike through her neck, like a banister spike, and then like it gets to Delia and she's just been like shot in the head by a gun. And I'm like, weird that like Fiona dispatched all the other girls in like these wild fucked up ways. And then with Delia, she's just like, gun.
She does the Indiana Jones thing where like, I'm too tired to deal with this, and just pulls out a gun.
Yeah.
I've decided tummy hurt. I'm going to shoot you in the head now. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, this is too much work.
We're just doing it this way. Yeah, it's fine.
Just Dante getting tired of writing the end of the Inferno. He's like, I've ran out of punishments befitting the crime. I'm just going to shoot you with a gun. No, that's okay.
Yeah. And then like at the end of that exchange, because like, for some reason, up until Delia gets this like anxiety vision, she's like, oh no, my mom is dying. I'm sad about that now, which doesn't make any sense, given that that's what we've all wanted. All of the characters, including us, the audience, have Delia, wanted her to be dead as soon as possible.
All of two episodes ago was putting together an elaborate plot and or scheme to make her kill herself that was only broken up by a random ghost. Like, yeah.
A random, very funny ghost. I'm glad he's here. I wish he got more screen time. It's so weird. And it's only for like 10 seconds because then she gets the sight and sees the like the future where all the girls are dead. And then she's like, oh, well, still got to kill my mom. And she's like, wasn't there earrings that went with this necklace? Can you go get them for me? And then I think that's the end of the scene. Now it's time for this.
He's almost done, though. You're almost at the end of your time with the jazz man, the Axeman, the Axeman who loves jazz.
Everybody loves that guy.
You know, people sometimes call saxophones axes, too. That's my bit. I'm a real man as well.
I didn't stalk no kid witches, though. That the show's libelous.
That's
me.
Fucked up. I just killed people.
Ghost slander again. You'll be hearing from my murderer lawyer soon.
Oh my god, how funny would it be actually, since it's like a Jack the Ripper situation where like they never caught that guy, if that guy was just like 145 years old, still alive, just like malding over his like representation in the show American Horror Story.
Oh no, Brad Baltic's father.
Actually, I guess it doesn't matter because like I was gonna say like, oh well, they should have given it some more time, but they straight up had Charles Manson in the show when he wasn't dead yet. So
alive. Yeah.
Yeah. So never mind. They don't care.
I hate to spoil like season 9. They have a real life serial killer on the show get killed, even though he lived in real life, and then resurrected by Satan, which is like, oh come on, like he's a real guy, like you can't do that, you know. But whatever.
Are you talking about 1985 or whatever?
Yeah, Richard Ramirez. Yeah.
Also, they did a really fucked up thing in that season where they made they picked an actor that was like really hot. So like everybody's like, maybe we shouldn't make the serial killer that was like notoriously wicked and kind of ugly really hot. Maybe we shouldn't do that.
A weirdly common problem in media over the last decade. It's like, hey, stop having hunks be the killers in movies. Make the killers like look like the actual guy, which is usually like a weird little nerd.
Right.
Like, please.
Yeah. He's also in season 5, but yeah.
He is also we'll in season 5. We have season 5 is going to be a real one.
That's
when we get there.
One, yeah.
When we get there, it's going to be a real one. Yeah, but back on season 3 with the Skibbity Bop Axeman, Delia somehow finds his apartment. I don't know how she knows where the Axeman lives. I truly don't. I don't know how she would get this information. Okay.
And the yellow
thing. I was going to say she used Find My Phone on her mom's phone to find where her mom was. That was my guess, because that's what it's easy. Old people don't know you can do that.
That's like the site, if you really think about it. Find My Phone is basically the same thing as the site.
Things that can replace the site. Find My Phone. Having anxiety. Thinking about a situation real hard.
Like, planning
using your
the
actual
future.
Eyes. Looking with
Google
my eyes.
Calendar.
Asking someone for the information and being provided it.
It feels like a commercial, right? Where like Gilly like cuts her eyes out. It's like, don't do this. Just use fucking get the new iPhone. You know,
there's gotta be a better way.
Just use Bing. Oh my god. She finds it though. Like literally, there is no feasible way that she finds this information because the Axeman is not a known like person. So nobody knows where he lived. It's not like Delphine where you could just look up her historical house or whatever. So she finds him somehow. Also, she's fucking blind. In case anyone's forgotten, she can't fucking see with her real eyes. And she still somehow found the Axeman's apartment. She just kind of lets herself in with magic.
She lets herself in, and he responds with, first, the most reasonable thing anyone said to the witches in this show, which is, hey, just because you can open the locks with magic doesn't mean it's not fucking rude. Which is like, yeah, I agree, man. Like, they should probably respect locks, like, societally, if nothing else. Lots of people can pick locks. They just don't do it all the time, because it'd be fucked up.
Yeah.
Don't
do it.
Yeah, weird flex. Just knock on the door. Like, what's wrong with you, Delia?
Things that can replace the sight. Knocking on the door and asking to be let in.
Yeah. Like a reverse vampire, just letting herself in without being invited.
Then she finds that he is playing his saxophone, and he says, you know, a man shouldn't be disturbed when he's playing with his instrument. Which, it's oversold because they say playing with his instrument, which isn't how anyone refers to playing an instrument. They say playing an instrument. They don't say playing with your instrument. Like, I would say I'm playing guitar. I wouldn't say, oh, I was playing with my guitar. That's just not, it's
also like kind of,
they want to make a joke about jacking off, and they like reach real hard for it.
And they pulled so far for it, no pun. Cause like, you know, you could also just said you shouldn't interrupt a man with his instrument. And it's like, then you have to think a little. It's a little bit of a better joke, in my opinion. Not that it was great to begin with, but they're like, oh, these idiots watching our show not going to get that. You got to spell
also,
it out.
Also, he was just, like, playing a little bit of sax in the back, and then when he walked out, he, like, didn't have his saxophone, but, like, his fly was down or something. You know?
And then Delia's like, oh, do you know who I am? Because like he's like, oh, you shouldn't use your magic to open the door. I'm like, well, if you didn't want him to know you were a witch, you probably shouldn't have opened the door with magic. Also would have been really awkward if you got the wrong apartment. I'm just saying. Because you're blind. How would you know? He's like, you don't look like your mom. Which, this is a good point. They've met. Like, they were one of the first people who met when it came to the Axeman. Like, he cornered her in a room and, like, honked at her a lot.
And Delia was blind both times, which I kind of then can forgive her on it, but he absolutely should know what she looks like, you know? Like,
well, and he does.
Yeah.
He just straight up says, like, you don't look like your mom. He's like, I know who you are. And she's just completely confused, which I would give a little bit more of a leeway if it wasn't the jazz man. If it wasn't the guy who talks like a 1930s ghost.
There's
a lot of people I'd be like, you could easily mistake one person for another, but then when one guy walks in and he's like, hey, skip it, it's like, oh, okay, that's the, I know that guy.
And the only other interaction she's had with him, he was also being weirdly horny. So, like, it's not like this is like a different, there's no way that you think this is a different guy. The last time you talked to him, he was like, I need my release. They promised me my release. Like, there's no way. There's no way that she doesn't know this. And like, who? If she doesn't think this is the Axeman that was released from her house, the ghost that was released from her house, truly, how did she fucking find him? Like, did she just think he was some random fucking man in New Orleans? Like, hello, weird old man. And if he was, why would she bother finding him? Like, what's
the
point?
Well, it's fine, because the Axeman's fully corporeal and just a regular human being. He's just a regular guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, that's what
you're
it
right,
is,
actually,
right? Because
yeah.
otherwise, there's a few things I have in the story coming up that won't make any sense.
Uh-huh.
Do I need to send this back to the rioting team? Is he not just a regular human man? Oh, fuck, Liz. I gotta go to the room. I'm sorry. We gotta do rewrites. Oh,
yeah, just forget the episodes.
What do you mean he's a ghost?
Yeah, forget the episodes where he, like, teleported and stuff. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Or where he, like, killed, like, 50 armed men in a business courtroom.
Or the time where he, like, chopped a guy up and teleported him into a tub.
Yeah. Yeah, just don't worry about any of that. But yeah, going back, because this is all leading up to something. We'll get there, but it's all leading up to something. If Delia did not know this was the Axeman and just thought this was a guy, TM, there would be no point in her having this conversation with this man, like, at all. There's actually kind of no point in her having this conversation with this man at all, anyway. But so, it has payoff,
like,
at least.
To cut out a little bit and just get to the point of the conversation is just Delia's just kind of telling him, hey, she's going to leave you. Like, she hasn't told you yet, but she bought plane tickets and is leaving the country and is going to abandon you. So I just thought I'd let you know that my mom's going to do that. Okay, I have no reason to do this. It doesn't benefit me in any way, shape, or form. But I decided I'm going to. Okay, bye-bye.
You're not like a weird serial killer or anything that murders women or anything like that. I don't have to worry about you, like, killing anybody that maybe might be, like, related to my mom. Okay, good talk.
And yeah, so as Delia is, like, warning the Axeman as well, being like, you don't understand, being close to my mother, you're gonna feel so empty after being close to my mother. I swear, my mother's gonna make you feel so bad. And then she touches him and has, like, the sight of memories of what her and, or what Fiona and the Axeman did together, I guess, like, very specifically their timeline. I think they say Jin Rickies no less than 14 times between now and the end of the episode, by the way. They just keep bringing it up. Like, there's literally an exchange where he's like, we'll be on the porch drinking Jin Rickies. And then they have Fiona go, Jin Rickies sound nice. And he goes, Jin Rickies. It's just obscene.
The writers heard the term Jin Rickies, like, while Googling information about the Axeman, and they were like, put it in there. Put it in there as much as we can. It sounds so old-timey. Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
I've also never heard of it. I've heard of Lime Rickies, but not, like, gin. You know what I mean? Like, as far as old drinks go, but I don't know. Maybe that's why
he's being so specific about it. It's like a fucked up and evil drink that no one drinks. So he's like, no. Jin Rickies. It's got to be Jin Rickies.
It's like wine, but it tastes like gin. It's terrible. It's like drinking fucking turpentine, like, but yeah.
Like, I mean, you usually just get a Ricky, and it's just that you get either gin or bourbon in the Ricky. Oh, but okay. He's just, like, being weirdly specific up front. Like, it, yeah.
Someone's messed up his order way too many times.
Or he just hates bourbon, in which case, like, I like him even less now. I'm actually more anti-Axeman after finding out he has a distaste for bourbon. Get out of New Orleans! What are you doing?
Yeah, it's also really weird because she's like, also, my mom has a plane ticket. She's leaving the country. She hates you. Bye-bye. And it's like... weird, because that just brings back into question, so, like, what was Fiona's deal with being like, oh, all I care about is my serial killer ghost boyfriend, that's my new lease on life, is that I love my serial killer boyfriend, he's my best boy, and that's all I have to live for, ever since episode 2, where I was getting chemotherapy.
It doesn't come up as a twist, really, because when they have this reveal happen of Fiona is leaving the country, it's out of nowhere. It's really nonsensical. Yeah. Her words and actions don't line up even a little bit. So it is another case of next time Fiona walks out of the room and walks back in, her motivations are totally different. So just, like, be ready for that.
Also, like, worst case scenario, like, if we were really entertaining this as being, like, legitimate, like, her, this, like, weird turn of heart that she's having, like, her plan is to, hypothetically, according to Delia's vision, kill all of the girls, and then just still be the supreme. Why doesn't Fiona just do, like, a spell and banish the Axeman? Because he's a ghost. That seems more convenient than starting a new life in a different country, given that she's the fucking supreme. Can do that, so yeah. Why wouldn't she just banish him? He's not a real guy, so just, like, banish him.
She had a ceremony for like a corporation. Surely they've handled ghosts, right? Like that's
well, especially because it's been shown in the past that witches versus ghosts is just like a mild inconvenience. Like witches can just destroy ghosts at a moment's notice with like a casual ritual, right? You can just like raise your hand at a ghost and be like, "Get out of here," and it'll get chucked across a room easily. Anyone could do it. It'd be crazy for Fiona to get killed by a ghost. Like it'd be insane.
Yeah,
you know?
No, that shouldn't happen.
That would be wild. He's probably no threat to anybody in the house, I would say. The good news is the site is anything that you need it to be, and we're back at home. Delia, who has the site, remember, a tool that is anything that the plot needs it to be.
The site, which often gives you sites based on touch, but not this time. This time she's getting weird with it.
Yeah, she just kind of goes home and starts huffing Misty's dress, just like sniffing it a lot, like really getting in there, like a bloodhound might. And that apparently lets her astral project outside of the graveyard that Misty is trapped in. Like she gets to see the name of the graveyard and everything, which is not information that Misty would know. So it shouldn't be anything that she's able to glean from Misty's memories or.
Yeah,
I don't even know what they're implying the site is doing here. Like a scrying orb?
She's like a little. She turns into like a little Minecraft creative mode camera and just kind of like floats through space and can kind of observe things. And it defaults her to the correct spot based on what she just sniffed.
Freaking weird.
Yeah, when I try and describe it, it sounds extra crazy, huh? Like, it sounds even wilder, but that's what it is.
No, you're right. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
We're doing a bit, but that is quite literally exactly how it works. She sniffs the dress, gets to astral project outside of the exact cemetery that Misty is trapped in. Gets to see the name of it and like the signage outside. Which is great for her, I guess. And then her and Queenie go to the graveyard to break open the tomb with telekinesis. They rip Misty out of the tomb, and Delia's like, "Hey, I can't see. Is she alive?" And I'm like, does that matter? Honestly, does it matter if she's alive, Delia? Just bring her back. Just bring her back to life. And they do. Queenie just does that. Like literally every other person in this television show.
There's also an interaction they have when they first show up to the graveyard that, like, really annoyed me because the way it's presented. And it's Queenie and Delia are there, and basically they see that, you know, she's behind a big bricked-up tomb. And Queenie's like, "Well, we can't get in there. What are we going to do?" And Delia has this big, like, pushed speech of, "You're a witch at the Grovishaw house. You know what that means. Where there isn't a door, there's a window," or like something like that. Yeah. Tries to push something like that. And the way she says it is like trying to inflect or imply that this is a thing they've said in the past a bunch, that like we should know, like this is one of the school's bylaws. But it's not anything. It's not a thing that anyone's ever said. So it just sounds dumb and weirdly like it's just like intense to Queenie. It's like you could just be like, "Queenie, you have telekinesis."
Yeah, it's like also
Queenie,
extra.
At some point, we all got telekinesis, by the way. I don't know when that happened, but we just all have telekinesis, except me. I can only smell stuff.
Yeah, like it's stuff like this that I know we always talk about. Like, wow, it's really weird how this is like structured like a school and literally no learning goes on. But like, it really does just hammer home, especially now that this is the penultimate episode, that like, this might have done better if it was just like, if like the framing of it was not, oh, this is a school for witches where they like hide and are like protected and learn their magic or whatever. And instead was just like, yeah, word of mouth gets around witches. And this is just like a ragtag bunch of witches.
Just
from
a gathering.
Yeah, just a gathering. Yeah. And they're all like trying their best to survive together. Like that
would
have been way better.
Some of the It would have made some of the random weird characters they had roll in and out feel a little more natural as well, as opposed to being like, uh-oh, here comes the council. Like, what the fuck is a council? Instead of it was just like, oh, yeah, we got Myrtles drifting in town. Like, okay, that'd be awesome. And then to have a couple of them be like, yo, Myrtle's coming, you know, and then we get excited for the character, that kind of thing. Yeah, nah, that, yeah. You're right. It would be better. Way better. Yeah.
Yeah, but they were like, oh, people love... they love an academy, which goes back to what
Harry
I was
Potter.
Saying.
Yeah.
It goes back to what I was saying a few episodes ago, which is that I have to remind myself very frequently when watching the show, especially in this season, that this is not a show aimed at young adults. It is a teenagers.
No.
It's an adult that's rated TVMA. It is meant for adults. Which, like, you'd think that the school format maybe wouldn't be the target demographic for a show for adults.
Look, you make Glee for so many years. You just, like, have a fallback plan, okay?
Yeah, that's so fair. So they bring back Misty, and she's alive again. I guess she died in the tomb.
The revive is also just, like, wildly impotent. Like, it's just Queenie leans over and goes, Vitalin, Vitalis, I'm gonna spit in your mouth now. She doesn't even spit in her mouth. She just breathes in her mouth. Only Fiona's cool enough to spit in people's mouths.
Yeah. Which, again, I don't know if this is the second time this episode or, like, the first time this episode where they actually straight up say Vitalin, Vitalis. But I'm like, that's not... Stop trying to make Vitalin, Vitalis a thing. That's... We've revived so many people in this show. So many people. And not once have we Vitalum Vitalist somebody until this episode. Like, we have got to cut this shit out. Stop trying to make Vitalum Vitalis happen. But they do. And now Misty's alive again. Back at home, Queenie walks in on Myrtle arranging Nightshade. I don't even remember if that's relevant or not. I don't think it is. But you know what is relevant? Zoe and Kyle are back.
It's a little bit relevant because Madison is with her, and Madison's sniffing all the different nightshades and poisonous flowers and whatnot, and Myrtle's like, hey, you're gonna get poisoned and it'll fuck you up and make you all delirious and you'll like puke your guts out or whatever, and Madison does a whole sounds like a boring Tuesday. It's like, shut up. Everyone's done with you, come on.
Yeah, I think Myrtle also says something to the effect of like, because like Madison's like, where is everybody, and she's like, oh yeah, Queenie and Delia went to the graveyard to go find Misty. They found her. They're bringing her back to life. Then we're gonna find out who trapped her there. And then Madison's like, oh, okay, that's not gonna be a problem for me.
How much trouble would that person be in, you think, Myrtle? Just hypothetically.
Just hypothetically. I mean, realistically, none. Because who gives a shit at this point? Yeah, and then Zoe and Kyle walk back in. You may be thinking, hey, did you guys forget, like, a whole chunk of story? Because last time we heard about them, they were on a bus leaving. No.
It was an episode ending, and it was very big and exciting, and the big bombastic thing of them running through a bus station. Yeah.
No, they're back. We do get to find out why they're back, though, which I will say is pretty fucking funny. the reason they're back is pretty fucking funny.
So it starts by Zoe lying when Myrtle's like, so why are you back? She's like, I just didn't want to run away from who I was. I'm a witch and I'm going to stand by this school and I'm going to stand by my friends. And then Kyle's like, also I ate a homeless man. He didn't eat a homeless man. That's a lie. I'm sorry. I was doing a goof. You want to talk about what he does too, though?
He eats a homeless man.
He kills him, but he uses his body, like all of his body, you know, like the Native Americans used to with buffalo. So it's okay.
No, he fully kills a homeless man. They're like eating an orange or an apple or something. I don't remember which one.
It's an orange. You know why I know it's an orange? Because it starts with them monologuing about what better place to cast the darkness out of our lives than the Sunshine State. That's right. We went to Florida, baby. Woo. Florida's good again. And they're sitting under a tree eating an orange. Normal things to do. And just like a homeless guy walks up and is the most confusingly irate guy. Like, homeless people are, they're just people. Like, they don't just, like, act wild for no reason. This guy just walks up and is like, "You're in my spot. That's my tree. Get the fuck out of here.
My orange tree here in Florida where we are, which grows oranges, ma'am."
Yeah, and so Zoe just stands up and is like, "Oh, okay, sorry, yeah, sorry," and just like, "Ooh, weird guy, yeah, you know, hey, that's life." And Kyle just grabs him and like knocks him down and breaks his neck.
Ta-da!
Like instantly, ta-da! Like so, he turns off, feels the need to do violence.
Yeah, why? Why? Because like all of the violence he's done so far has been like in service of protecting someone or himself. Why does he
You remember he was supposed to have like a demon in him when they brought him back to life? Like that was the whole thing, was they did like a pact with Lucifer they weren't supposed to.
I don't think they have mentioned that since that happened.
Oh no, I'm not, for what it's worth, I'm not saying they did that. I'm saying that was a plot point at one point. I don't think that's why this is happening. I think they've also dropped the ball on that. Yeah, 100%. I think as soon as Fiona was like, "I fixed him, he's better now," I think that was like, okay, we've given up on the he's possessed by a devil plot line.
I think, yeah. It's like, I kind of read that as like, we're done with the whole like, let's nurse him back to health thing. This plot's going nowhere. Just have
he's just a man again. He's just like a guy now, except for sometimes he goes sicko mode and kills a homeless man for seemingly no reason. But it's fine. It's fine. Because Zoe does necromancy.
Well, it's Florida, so it is. Yeah,
yeah, it is Florida also.
You probably got the key to the city or some shit. Like,
yeah, they loved it. Yeah, Zoe just does necromancy now. She Vitalum Vitalis's, which first of all, how the fuck does she know about Vitalum Vitalis? Because she wasn't even here for Fiona's speech. Queenie was. Queenie did hear the Vitalum Vitalis speech, so it makes sense that she said it. But not... not this. Also, sorry, I just had a passing thought. So as soon as Velia saw that Fiona killed all of the girls, why was priority number one? Since they were in the same...
Go see the Axeman.
No. Well, why was that priority one? But why was priority one not going to the same... Once she got the information about where Misty was, which is the same place that Nan was buried, by the way, why not, while you're there, just exhume Nan and revive her, since there's a 100% chance that you know that Fiona killed her. Fuck her, I guess.
Because story-wise, like, they can't know this, but, you know, Papa Legba has, like, owns Nan now, I guess, right? Isn't that the thing? But they can't know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they can't know that, and they should be trying to, but, you know.
They just didn't like Nan. They forgot Nan already. Yeah. They were, like,
Nan
really
has
caught
no,
up in their own thing.
No odors for the site to lock onto. She's just completely odorless. No. Just a weird thing.
Yeah, Delia She's was like, that. No, I can't smell her anymore.
He's got the Chuck Folenic disease that makes it so you don't stink. No.
Yeah, that crossed through my mind of, we could have just revived Nan after we realized that Fiona was killing people, huh? No? Okay. We were even in the right graveyard for it. No? Okay. But yeah, Zoe and Kyle are back now. Zoe knows necromancy.
And at the end of her story, after explaining which, she goes, "And that's also the reason I'm back, is I have necromancy, which means I'm pretty sure I'm the next Supreme," which is... way funnier than she thinks, considering we've seen five people do necromancy in the last 25 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think we've seen a witch not do necromancy.
Yeah.
I don't think any of them have done it.
Madison has. Queenie has. Fiona has. Cordelia has not. Did Nan do it at any point? I don't think so.
I think Nan's dead. I feel like she could because. She wanted to do it on that boyfriend, but then he got cremated, so she couldn't. So I think it's we can give her the pass, you know?
Yeah, okay, I think she planned on doing it. She was planning on doing it, but then body was burned. So
yeah,
So at this point, it's more likely you're the Supreme if you can't do it.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's just so common.
I feel like the Supreme at this point, it's like the same level as when Taco Bell names something a Supreme. Like, it's not special. It's just a little bigger. You know what I mean? So which Supremes are just like, yeah, whatever.
I was assuming it was like Boy Scout badges where you could just like do enough activities to become like a Star Witch and then a Life Witch and then an Eagle Witch or whatever.
Right.
And then and you then like have all the spells. Yeah.
Some counselor feels like bad for you. It's a school. Yeah. And it's just you try hard enough. Here's your sewing badge. And here's your sex with people and killing them badge. Sorry, go ahead.
Like, if this is how it's always been, like, in all of the school, like, throughout history, like, at one point, all of the witches that are in the house just start developing a fuckload of powers all at once. First of all, poor Myrtle. She only ever got the truth spell. That sucks. But, like, yeah, no wonder they have to do the Seven Wonders test or whatever. If everybody just has the supreme powers all the time, then who fucking cares? Why do we even have a supreme? If everybody just gets to do everything, what's even the point of being the supreme? Everybody can just do everything. It's like, oh, big whoop.
It seems like being someone who developed new spells and new techniques would be, like, notably more important to be, like, the head of research as opposed to, like, someone in, like, Myrtle or Cordelia's position should probably actually be the most important witch. It's too bad.
Right.
Too bad.
So, yeah. What do you call it? Well, anyway, then, Misty starts beating the shit out. Misty's, you know, had it with Madison, as we all have, right? And
she's home.
Yay.
Misty's home.
Yeah. She, not only does she beat the shit out of Madison, she also delivers one of the funniest lines while doing it, where I can't even remember who mentions, like, oh no, they're going to get into a magic fight or something, and Misty just yells, I'll use my hands!
I don't need magic, I can just use my hands. I'm like, hell yes, Misty, my queen, the love of my life, just starts fucking her up.
Every time Misty's not on camera, I'm officially like, where's Misty? Come on, bring her back.
Yeah, Misty's rude now, and she is beating the ever-loving shit out of Madison, just like wailing on Madison, and no one's stopping her.
No, because why would they?
Yeah, why would they? It's super funny. Now,
we just... what I'm learning is in American Horror Story, there's a chance that they have a part of the show where Lily Rob becomes nasty temporarily. And that's my favorite part of the show whenever it happens. I just love watching this woman be rude. It's great.
Yeah, it's really, I love nasty Misty. I hope everybody's ready for the show to grind to a screeching halt, because in the middle of this fight, which is like very exciting and fun to watch, the Axeman comes out of nowhere, covered in blood and screaming, all of those things at once. And it's like, like running at them. The girls just kind of look at him and go, and then Madison goes, wow, did you walk into the wrong house? And then every single witch holds their hand up and, like, sends him fucking flying, like, 500 feet with telekinesis. I think this was supposed to be, like, a funny moment. And it maybe would have been if this was episode 2 and I cared at all and we weren't having, like, a fun fight scene that he...
Yeah, that's really the big thing is it's interrupting something that's like way more interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, we're interrupting the fun thing for this fucking guy.
There's like a fight between Superman and Magneto starting up, and then fucking like Mighty Mouse runs in and goes, give a shit about me. No. Absolutely not. And yeah, so they just like all have telekinesis now because, again, powers are just everyone has all of them now. We've completely thrown any idea that you have a restriction out the window. And yeah, they kind of chump the Axeman. They just chuck him onto the stairs, and he's pretty beat up and like, oh god, I'm fuck, that hurt. I'm a regular guy with flesh and blood who's not a ghost at all. Oh, that hurt a lot. And then they interrogate him. He's a little bit bloodied up, and I can't remember who asks it at first, but they're just like, I wonder how he got so bloody. And Delia like touches the blood and
it sounds like a job for the site instead of just asking him or something.
But, Why would I ask the man sitting 40 feet away when instead I could touch the blood that isn't even his on the ground and know everything?
And yeah, so you have it highlighted, and yeah, thank you for that. Delia mentions explicitly when he comes in, I know that voice, it's the Axeman. Which is a real problem when 10 minutes ago, she did not know that voice when she was going to that voice's house explicitly.
And didn't, I don't think she got, like, provided that information when she was there either. Like, I doubt she was like, oh, by the way, before you leave, Toots, I'm the X-Man. Like, I don't think he, like, did that.
His ass would say Toots.
Yeah, I don't think that was, like, how he ended their conversation. But she's like, that's the X-Man. And everyone's like, oh, okay.
All she needed was, like, all they needed was, like, a 10-second scene as Delia's leaving to hear a saxophone inside. Like, I bet that's the Axeman. Like, you know, but, no, yeah, now it's just...
And then Myrtle mentions, like, oh, didn't you banish him? Like, didn't you girls banish him the way you were supposed to? And Delia says, no, he's on the mortal coil, which... I don't think he has been until now. They decided he is now a regular guy with flesh and bones and, like, can take injuries. Just, like, he's a regular man again, which, when did that, what part of the Pinocchio story did I miss? Did he, like, stop playing jazz and got his bones back? Like, what the fuck happened?
Wait, then it's even wackier then that they got him to kill the corporation because he's just some fuck. You know what I mean?
Huge gamble, like, on Fiona's part that he was going to be able to handle 15 armed men with just an axe if he's, like, just a guy. He's just a man, like, now.
Weird, like, pathetic pedophile John Wick. Like, what the hell are we doing here?
Baba Yaga, parentheses derogatory. Also, we definitely have seen him teleport at least twice in this show.
Oh yeah, no, like, he's been a ghost. No, he's explicitly been very clearly a ghost.
Totally wrong. It doesn't work at all.
There is no universe where you can watch the episodes leading up to this and not conclude he is fully and completely an incorporeal ghost. Constantly. He does it nonstop, like all the time.
Kind of a big pain in the ass, honestly, with the ghost.
So anyway, the blood's Fiona's, according to Delia. She's like, oh, well, this is Fiona's blood. Then we get a flashback to what happened. I'm sure everyone's thinking, like, oh, there's no way that Fiona's dead. That's crazy. That would be so crazy
they
and stupid.
They wouldn't just have Fiona, the most powerful character in the show, ostensibly just randomly die to a regular man with an axe off screen. There's no way. That would be Liz. That would be so stupid.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Tell the story the right way.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. Prince of Persia. Let me turn over this hourglass. All right. Let's try that again. So the blood is the axe man. No, it is Fiona. Regrettably, it is Fiona's. Yeah, so flashback time, because the site has decided it's time to see why Fiona's dead.
Yeah, and I bet what you're thinking is, well, you guys are, like, playing it up a lot. It was at least probably really exciting. So in the flashback, Fiona goes to the Axeman's apartment. Why? Who fucking knows? A real sociopath, which Fiona, I have to assume, is, would simply ghost the ghost, I think. I don't think she'd, like, go for one last hurrah, and she certainly wouldn't bring the fucking plane ticket in her purse unless she thought this man was an idiot, which he is a little, but it doesn't matter because he fucking finds it. She's like, hey, sweet cheeks, hello, I am here to fucking talk to you. I don't know. Don't look at my purse that I left right in front of you. There's definitely not anything in there that I wouldn't want you to find.
And yeah, and so she kind of mentions, like, oh, what are you looking at? Why are you so worried? And he goes, your daughter paid me a visit. I think she gives, like, a flat, like, oh, of course she would. Followed by, now that Fiona realizes he has seen the ticket that she just left in her purse, she has decided to pivot one last time to, actually, she doesn't care about her ghost boyfriend at all. She doesn't give a shit. She is just leaving. Too bad. Why did I even come here? Great question. Many great questions.
Yeah. He totally finds it. And is like, hey, that's fucked up. And she's like, yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
We had a deal.
Jinrikis. We were gonna drink Jinrikis. You remember on the porch, the Jinrikis? We were gonna do it.
I have received explicitly no Jinrikis, and that is not acceptable.
I've been watching you your whole life. Oh, maybe that's why.
Yeah, and then Fiona's decided that she doesn't give a shit about the Axeman at all, even though that's all she's given a shit about for the last 7 episodes. She, like, weirdly antagonizes him, which, like, would be fine for a character that knows they're, like, not touchable and, like, definitely more powerful than the man/ghost. But then he, like, throws her around the room and, like, flexes about being really good at sex, which is weird.
I gave you all those little deaths. They heard Le Petit Mort and they're like, that's perfect for a horror show because it's about dying, but also it's a little sexy.
Yeah. It's like a little horny.
Yeah,
again,
perfect for our show.
I hate to keep bringing this up, but that is also a quote from the movie Stay Alive from 2003, which they have heavily taken quote unquote inspiration from this season. But yeah, he's like, yeah, we had so much sex. Isn't that good? And then she's like, don't touch me. I'm going to go lean on the sink a little bit and start talking about a kitten that I had when I was 8 years old. And then as she starts that story, he just axe murders her. She turns her back to him and he just murders her with an axe.
Yeah, he just teleports behind her without her noticing because he's a ghost and can just teleport and be places and is like borderline undetectable if he wants to be. Because he's a ghost. He's not a real man.
And she is, you know, like an omnipotent, all-knowing supreme witch.
Yeah. So it would be extra crazy if he was just a guy.
Right, yeah. It absolutely would.
Yeah, but she's fully serial killed. And then we go back to present day, and Delia's like, oh no, he fed her to the alligators. And Misty's like, well, can't revive her because she got ate by the alligators. And I guess that's the line that can't be. I guess that's the line for not being revived anymore.
If you can't assemble the pieces anymore, it's over, I guess,
that's
is what
not
the
true.
Rules are.
No, that's not true, because Kyle was completely disassembled. They didn't even use the same pieces.
Uh-huh.
Well,
they're just lazy.
So what would you do? Like put like all the alligator poop into like a balloon and then like put it in a homunculus?
No,
or, like how does this work?
I would just tell them. I'd be like, oh yeah, you can't fix that. I'm not digging through gator shit for somebody. No, I barely know them. I'm just
saying. The implication with Kyle is just that like they had to like do a spell with like intention and like not to be that guy. But like most witchcraft IRL, like when people practice witchcraft, like it's all about intention. Mm-hmm. So like you could just like have one of her dresses or something and then have another dead body, someone else's dead body, and be like the same spell we did for Kyle, and then she would be back in that body hypothetically.
But it's a weird conversation to even have because they don't really want her back.
Why are we even entertaining this actually, Delia? Because we wanted her dead. This is good actually.
They legitimately say out loud, I think the axe murderer did us a little favor by getting rid of Fiona, like 10 seconds later.
Yeah. So I know what you're all thinking. Like, oh, well, certainly by the end of this episode, we'll get, like, some more Fiona. Like, something.
Nah.
Menace. The most important antagonist of the show did die off screen to some real dumb bullshit. And was given a real dumb bullshit reason why they can't be revived. Died in a kind of pathetic way, honestly, off screen.
Very pathetic. Yeah, like one of, probably the most upsetting like turn of a character for me, at least, of just wow, that you spent so many episodes and so much time building up Fiona, and that's the exit. That's the exit, really. And it's not like. It's not like the ending of The Sopranos, right? Where, like, there's an intention behind it. It's, like, very sharp on it for a purpose. This is just, it's just bad writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is very anti-Sopranos.
They could have, like, even...
This is the opposite of Bezos.
They could have even, like, if they wanted to still do this plot beat of, like, oh, she dies by the Axeman or whatever. I think there were still ways they could have done it that would have made it more meaningful. Just, like, not have the Axeman come screaming into the room covered in blood. That's... Just have, like, something happen and then, like, Delia in passing, like, touches something that belongs to her mother to try and get more information. And then she's like, oh, weird. I can't see anything. I don't see anything when I touch this. And then that leads to, like, a little more investigation, and then she confronts the Axeman or something. Because, hypothetically, the Axeman has, like, no fucking reason to be at the witch house right now. Like, why? Why are you back at the witch house? Like, you killed the lady who...
He claims he wants revenge? But, yeah, like, on just the concept of witches, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, like there were ways that even if this was the way that Fiona was going to go out, that it could have been more meaningful or at least interesting. But they did it in what feels like the worst way, actually.
They could have like I think the way that would have been like really interesting is, or like a way they could have done it that still would have been like controversial, got a bunch of opinions, this, that, the other, is just like have Fiona just not be in the story after a point. And yeah, just have it be left unclear and hanging. Maybe leave a couple things here and there of like, did Fiona just leave? Does she have a plan? Hell, then you can use Fiona later in one of your later seasons. And that's great. People love that.
I really don't want to spoil anything. There's like a perfect season for it even, you know, if you wanted that. Like, you could have her back for something. And then like, yeah, absolutely. There's a million different ways of doing this. And they chose the oddest one by far, which is, you know, or kill her in her sleep. There's like a million things, but whatever.
It's could one have of had the it worst
like
steps.
A more metaphorical thing, you know, because it's like a romance thing. You could have had some kind of poison pill or something. You could have done a metaphor. You could have killed her with jazz somehow. Like anything.
Yeah, like literally there were so many ways that even if this was the way they were gonna end Fiona, that it could have been more interesting, but they went with this, where she dies off screen, and then we're given a bullshit, like, she doesn't even really get, like, a last injury. She gets no closure with, like, any of the characters she's wronged. And it's very odd, because, like, the way Delia reacts is, like, it wasn't, like, her plan. I think the implication is, like, ah, yeah, that's what Delia wanted to happen, but, like, Delia's quite surprised when she realizes what has happened, what has transpired. It's so weird. It's so bizarre. Anyway, Fiona's dead. That's how we're treating it, because that's how the show treats it. Fiona's dead. Tee-hee. Now it's time to go back to the present time. Myrtle is looking at the Axeman, and she's like, well, we gotta kill this guy. And all the girls are like, damn. And then Kyle's like, no. I'll do it. I'm the guard dog or whatever. And Madison's like, no, we got it. And they do like a weird girl power thing. And by that, I mean, they walk past Kyle and all start.
They literally say, we don't need a man protecting us as they walk by. And then TK knives to their hands.
Yeah, everybody grabs a knife with telekinesis. Everybody. I don't know why there's so many knives in like the general vicinity.
They all do it at the same time, and they like all look and take from the same knife rack. So this is like a rehearsed maneuver.
Yeah, like how did nobody
like the beginning of the dance number, like, get them girls, and just all scooping your knife, your assigned knife.
Yeah, I was gonna say nobody accidentally grabbed the same knife. Like everybody managed to grab different knives because it is everybody in the room. And then they just stabbed the fuck out of the Axeman, just like the first time he died. Why this time they didn't just magic kill him, I don't know. Like, last time it was, like, 1919.
Especially considering he's a ghost. He's not just a flesh and blood man. You can't just stab him to death. He's a fucking ghost.
No, we're just stabbing him. Now it's time for a really confusing, plot beat. And it's time for the name of the episode. Yay! Go to hell. We're in Papa Legba hell, which is a different kind of hell for immortal people.
It's like a community theater hell, I think. It's confusing.
Yeah. I guess certain people get Papa Legba hell specifically. It's unclear how you have to qualify for Papa Legba hell, because it's very clear by the end of this segment that, like, backup people, like regular other people, catch a random stray and end up in Papa Legba Hell in like service of certain people being extra punished.
I'm like convinced it's a community theater thing and like Papa Legba just has like a crew that works with him on this, because there's no way it makes sense otherwise.
So it's special, like, hell.
Why is that guy in the fried chicken dream and this dream? How could he? What crime did he commit that puts him in both? Fuck off.
Yeah, like, did he commit worse crimes than Delphine, the racist serial killer woman? Like, why does he have to be in both of these? Before this is over, Delphine's daughters, who have done nothing but catch fucking stray L's for this entire season, will catch yet another stray L for no reason, because they're in Papa Legba Hell, which is, as he describes it, a special hell for immortal people. Marie is also there, because I guess she's dead. She also died off screen, I guess. And
Benadryl got her.
Yeah, Benadryl got her. And then I don't know. She's also there, and then Marie slits Delphine's throat and then feeds the blood to her daughter, who's in another cage. They're in like Delphine's like torture cage. And that is her real daughter, who's also in Papa Legba Hell for the crime of Chek's notes. Being Delphine's daughter and having a horrible life.
This is like why I'm just choosing community theater hell, because like it's so unfair to the daughters.
It makes
it's
no
crazy.
Sense. Yeah.
The daughters have been being shit on.
There's not even like
from cradle to grave, bro.
There's not even a token like the daughter being like racist in like a flashback scene or anything. Like they never do anything really wrong, and you know.
In fact, they are like emphatically anti what their mother stands for. Like they are very anti all of Delphine's ideals, and like are just as much victims as every other person. The only thing I can think of, and I didn't look it up, and I don't even know if it is documented. If I can't be bothered to look it up, I have to assume the American Horror Story writers also didn't look it up. But like, maybe there's like some documentation of like the real lady's daughters also potentially being kind of shitty, so they wanted to like cover themselves, be like, no, we're not saying that they were good too.
I would assume Donald Trump's son is also a piece of shit by default. Yeah, 100%. But like, you don't have to like show me the it's just they haven't shown it at all, and they're treating her like worse than Delphine is the problem.
Yeah,
like, getting a worse deal. Yeah.
And again, they're emphasizing here because like Delphine's like wailing like, no, my daughter. Because like at this point they have Marie like put a poker, like a hot poker in like the fire. And she's like, I'll let you choose if this goes in her face or her butthole. And like Delphine's like wailing and like crying. And I'm like, quit trying to make us think Delphine loves her kids. Like,
right? Yeah.
You showed us that she didn't give a shit about her kids and were like awful to her children. Like, why are you doing this? Why do you keep re-emphasizing that, like, oh no, like she loves her kids so much even though she's evil? Like, no, she doesn't. She was awful
her introduction was being a shit to her daughter, Bernadette or whatever. Like,
Or like, actually,
Borkipo,
when like when Marie Laveau's like kind of torturing Borkia, she could be like, actually, you should probably do it with the eyes. She really hates that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I was gonna say, we actually see a real thing that Delphine does to Borkita that is very similar to what Marie is doing here in Papa Legba Hell. But like, it was real, and Delphine was doing it to this daughter.
Papa Legba's bad at this.
Yeah, it's all the cocaine.
whatever. I don't know.
Marie Laveau is charging up the poker, getting it nice and hot, and kind of starting to do a hey, I'm gonna do this thing. And then the writers had a moment of just like, wait, this makes no sense. Why would anyone be mean to Borkita? Borkita's done nothing wrong. This makes Marie Laveau evil too, in a weird way. And we didn't really intend that to be the case. And she turns to the camera and goes, oh, wait, Borkita did nothing wrong. Borkita has no crimes. I don't want to stab Borkita with a poker. That's unjust. And Papa Legba goes, too fucking bad. I'm unjust now. That's my gimmick. I'm Satan now. I'm not like a party dude. I've decided
Satan.
I fucking suck. Yeah, I, it's over. I'm just nasty now.
And amazingly, yeah, this is just, then it's just like, yep, oh, you're right. You got me. Anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah, Marie's like, well, can't argue with that.
You win again.
And then, like, Papa Legba says something to the effect of, like, everybody goes to hell eventually. And I'm like, what does that mean? What are you fucking talking about?
That's also, like the writer you have reading Death side Note. Hell.
Sorry.
People don't go to side hell a lot. They don't go to your hell. Is it a different hell? I just have so many questions about like the structure of hell.
I kind of like that Papa Legba gets high and fucks everything up, and that's why that one guy's like, why am I in hell here? Like, you're in the chicken blade. Like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. I don't want to correct this guy.
What's also really funny is they are genuinely, like, we're doing a bit, but, like, they do treat him like voodoo Satan, which is, like, extra funny because, spoiler alert for, like, every other season, I guess, there is canonically, like, the Christian Satan in this universe. And he will be a character in other seasons, and it will be a very important plot point in several other seasons. So that implies that there's like a Smash Brothers roster of different types of Satans for different religions, which I think is a really funny thing for them to like introduce as a concept.
Oh my god. Why did Fight of Gods not do this? That seems like so obvious, but yeah. It's
I personally think we should have a Satan for every different religion, and then they should have life.
Well, then we would have to presuppose that there's some kind of ongoing long historical war between, like, I don't know, the voodoo people and the witches. But that's ridiculous. They would never have that in this show.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
That would justify Satan versus Papa Legba pretty easily, but that's not in the show, so, you know, whatever.
They didn't think about that till after this, and this is the penultimate episode, so we ran out of time. And anyway,
had to get in one last fuck you to Borkita. That's what we have time for.
Borkita needed one last fuck you, and she gets stabbed with a hot poker anyway.
Eat it, bitch. Like, what's wrong with Borkita? I don't know. I just hate
Borkita
her.
Borkita did nothing.
Justice for Borkita. That's our merch.
Like, the first scene where we see Delphine, she's like, yeah, this is Borkita. She's dumb as shit. Like, that's the first thing that Delphine says in the show. And then this is the last thing we hear is, like, Borkita getting fucking owned. I'm like, god damn. I don't know that anybody... This is the first time a character that is not Sarah Paulson's character has had the worst time from start to finish of a season of this television show.
Yeah.
Well, rest in pepperonis, Borkita. Destined to be in Papa Legba hell forever, I guess. It's back at the witch house, and everyone's looking at Fiona's portrait, and they seem sad for some reason. No one seems, like, excited about it, which I think they would be, given that their number one antagonist is now dead. And the witch hunters are gone, so, like, there's not a threat anymore.
And voodoo's gone, too!
And voodoo's
like,
gone!
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, there's... You'd think that someone would be, like, a little bit excited. Like, oh, thank God, now all we have to do is figure out who's the Supreme or whatever. No, they're all, like, sad, kind of. A little.
Like, the one other thing I could see is, like, if one of them had a moment of resolve, turned to the other ones and went, like, hey, let's just not pick a Supreme. Let's not do Supremes anymore. Hey, how about this? No more Supremes. Like, we're done with that. That is a concept. We just don't care. One of the witches is strong. Great. Move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if anything, this has been an excellent show that maybe having a Supreme is bad and we shouldn't be doing it.
Especially if everyone has all the powers anyway, maybe we shouldn't have one and tell them repeatedly, you're the best, everything is good for you, but go do whatever. It clearly can backfire.
Sadly, though, no. We have to have the Witch Olympics next time.
Yeah, we gotta have Witch American Idol.
In the final episode of the season.
We got one episode left, and it is going, according to Delia, who announces this to the girls... It is going to be the Seven Wonders, which is what the episode is called. They're going to do Witch American Idol, I know we've beaten this dead horse about a million times, but like, I believe that we've been told explicitly by the characters in this universe that the way that it works is when the Supreme dies, the next one just kind of evolves like a Bulbasaur would if exposed to like a leaf stone or whatever. They just be like, ah, fuck, I'm the Supreme now. Like when they were all waiting for her to die, they were like, does anybody feel tingly? Like it's supposed to be like, oh, OK, the old Supreme's dead. Well, who feels powerful now?
Right.
No. The Supreme is dead, and we still have to do American Idol for some reason.
Also, holy shit, you could not ask for, like, a more bonus lap concept of an episode. Like, there is a thing that people will often hate of just having the story end at a weird time and getting rid of, like, all the threats and killing the big bad and all that, and then just pivoting to... And now we have an episode of everyone hanging out and talking about what they're going to do over the summer. And I can't imagine this last episode is going to be fucking anything but that, because, like, all of the major antagonists are dead.
Like, the wackiest thing about this, too, is that this is the longest season of American Horror Story. So, like, they didn't even need to do this, you know? But we're here. So
we have so much to look forward
to. So, like, for real, though. That's it, though, right? It's just Seven Wonders? Like, find out who the Supreme is?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ty. Was that not what you cared about this whole entire season? Was that not the gnawing question at the back of your mind from episode one?
No.
Well, maybe that's a fucking you problem.
Does Zoe still kill people with their vagina?
Nah, we don't have to do that anymore.
No one has that power besides her, evidently.
She can bring people back now, so it's not even a problem for her.
Yeah,
exactly,
really, yeah. You know? I mean,
Okay, now forget Petite Mort. She can do the Big Mort.
Yeah.
You can have the full death.
I will say, the people who have died to the death, Gucci, it doesn't seem like it's too kick-ass. It seems like it sucks still pretty bad. So,
yeah,
I still kind of don't want to do it.
It's novelty
different
more than
strokes
anything.
Strokes for different
now.
Folks. I don't want to yuck anyone's yum. If you want to die by, like, bleeding out of your eyes and suffocating to death or whatever happened.
Yeah, this has become a consensual cannibalism dilemma all over again.
Right.
Fiona's actually, that's so crazy. Fiona's just dead. I can't believe, legitimately, I've watched this episode twice. I still can't believe that shit. Like, I know it's true. There's no way they're bringing her back in the last episode, because that would be even more confusing and insane. But holy shit, she just like dies off camera.
Yeah, this is it, man. Welcome.
What were they fucking cooking? Holy shit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another piece of media that's had a major antagonist, like the major antagonist, just die to a random fucking schlub off to the side like this. And I can't think of the fucking the Supreme falls not even to the menace and the ravages of time or cancer or disease, something that would have a message of this is inevitable for all of us or something like that. No, it's the fucking Jazz Man.
Is inevitable. Bop, 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 bop. No, Jazz is inevitable for all of us. That's the end. That's the music is the power. That's the message.
But like off the top of my head, I can think of several examples where a show has done that with a protagonist and it's like never received well. Like The Walking Dead comes to mind. With a certain Negan episode, two very important main characters just get capped for no reason. Two beloved characters get capped for no reason. But the only time I can think of, like, a death that was so unsatisfying of an antagonist that everyone was like, man, what the fuck? Came a lot later, I think, in the form of Game of Thrones.
I was gonna say,
Game of Thrones had a pretty notoriously bad, like, to the point where, like, it's historically known as being fucking horrendous.
Yeah, it's bad.
And everyone hating it. Everyone hating and loathing it because of how bad it was.
And then also,
that has an excuse, because that's at least, like, the author didn't finish it. HBO tried to. They failed. This is just like, this show just sucked through and through. There's no reason.
Yeah. They were the blueprint. They were the blueprint for having a terrible antagonist perish off screen.
And even that case, if it's the same one I'm thinking of, is more just like the character's writing pivoted in a weird way and the character kind of like threw themselves in just like a bizarre pivot.
I think,
as opposed to this is just like you died to like a random dog.
I think they were
like,
they
you
kinda,
got killed by a fucking Goomba.
Yeah, Game of Thrones, at least you could say like they kind of wrote themselves in the corner. I didn't watch it, but I kind of know about it. Like, they had too many protagonists almost. They had to just kind of flip one to make like the one winner kind of deal, and it's like totally weird and doesn't make sense, and everyone hates it. Yeah, but this is just, I don't know what this is. This is like, we ran out of time even though we had plenty. Like, we, you know, like, we
they also already had multiple outs to have Fiona die. Like, if they wanted to have Fiona just die unceremoniously, they could have done it again in a pretty cool and impactful way and just be like, yeah, the cancer got her. Like, just like, yeah, she fucking died of cancer. She didn't get treatment and she fucking died of cancer. Like, yeah, that'll happen. Yeah. And that would be like poignant and something. You could do anything with it. It would be like, people would love talking about that on Reddit. They would eat that shit up. But no, it's just the Axeman went skibbity bop, brought down an axe, and that's the end of our strongest supreme antagonist.
Yeah, I think what like the real like nail in the coffin that makes it extra infuriating is that because of how like dog shit they've been about like characters dying and resurrection, not only did they have to be like, oh yeah, she died off screen, teehee, here's a flashback, but they also had to like tack on a thing and be like, oh, and this is also why we can't bring her back. Which also feels bad for, like, even if that wasn't a main character, them being like, oh, we can't bring her back because of this. Also, by the way, we forgot.
Very Jar Jar Binks way to go. Just like, everybody hated this character, right? And it's like, I don't know. Oh, well.
Yeah,
anyway.
Too late now. So next time on Dragon Ball Z, we'll find out who the next Supreme is. Does anybody care about that?
No.
Does anybody have any predictions? Because right now,
it's me.
Yeah. The Supreme
it's
was
me.
Inside
I'm the
of
Supreme.
Us. It was the friends we made along
the
way.
The Supreme is whoever turned off this series at episode 3 and outsmarted all of us.
Okay, I have a fun little exercise because I know I know that Beef and I both know who the answer is. Not I don't want you to guess who it is. I don't want you to guess who you think it is.
Okay.
I want you to tell me who you think the worst choice out of all of the witches would be.
Ooh. Okay. Worst choice.
Like, who makes the least sense? Who do you think would be the most unsatisfying decision?
Okay. Because, like, I mean, Madison, it would be a little bit shitty, but at least there's, like, some precedent for it. There's some kind of explanation, and that could lead into something with like, wow, it seems like the Supreme's a bad person a lot of times. Again, another question of maybe we should stop fucking having Supremes. But like Queenie, there's something that you could do poignant with. Zoe's like the default protagonist, so that would be like the whatever, sure, Harry Potter. I don't fucking care. But that would be like at least sensible. That's, you know, Link gets the Master Sword, sure. Misty, I just don't really want to be the Supreme because I want Misty to just be Misty. I think Misty's like got a good thing going and I don't want her to fuck it up. I think overall it probably would be just Madison would be the stupidest answer overall. Like, that would be the most like, okay, like, I guess if you had to pick one. Not Zoe. Zoe would just be like, oh, okay, I guess. Definitely not Queenie. What other options are? Myrtle? Could Myrtle be the Supreme?
I mean, Myrtle is a witch in the house.
Okay. Oh, Cordelia would be so dumb. Oh, man. I didn't even think about that. Ooh, if they make it Cordelia, that's going to be the funniest shit in the universe. Actually, nope. That would rock. That would be so bad, I'd be into it again. So it can't be Cordelia. All right. I'll say Madison. Sure.
Okay. Well, I guess we have to find out next week.
Yeah, till next time, everybody. Look forward to the Seven Wonders.
Yeah,
I know. I'm not. I'll admit it. I'm not. We're done. There's no more. We finished the season. It's crazy. There's another episode next time. Bye.
So long.
Bye.